Hi, everybody. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 115, page 428. We've been actually passing through some discussion of a sixfold chart, which begins with a great triangle, a triangle of superconstellations in relation to our solar system, at least, and they are the Great Bear, Sirius, and Pleiades. And there is a descent from this triangle via zodiacal signs, via planets, and via the major centers on our planet into the actual structure of the human being. And we see here that that point number 5 in the descent indicates an egoic anchorage. There, the higher centers, head center, heart center, ajna center, relate to the qualities of the soul or ego or egoic lotus, or possibly the spiritual triad. All of them are egoic in nature. And you'll notice that in most cases, the energies of point number 6 have to do with the personality. The base of the spine represents personal will, solar plexus personal desire, and interestingly, the throat center is above the diaphragm, but it still has this personal quality because it's related to the third ray and is not yet esoteric in a certain sense, at least in some of its type of usage. So we have here the initiate learns how to utilize the base of the spine. The disciple is filled with aspiration, which he directs wisely through the heart and mind. And the aspirant, the integrated personality can be represented by the ajna center from one point of view, and from another point of view, it enters the spiritual triad. The throat center can be used by the intelligent aspirant who is not yet entirely steady in his approach, and it has to do with creativity. Notice that the third line of descent is not about intelligence per se, it is active intelligence, of course. DK tells us that he prefers for the third ray, the name, the ray of creative intelligence, but it ends with the idea of creativity, and the sacral center is not mentioned, although you might expect it to be mentioned. It is, in a way, an evocation which eventually disappears. One wonders about the sacral center when the division of the sexes comes to an end, as it is a temporary expedient on our planet, and perhaps by the time we get later into the root races, we will not have the division of the sexes in the same way. Well, that is that's just a little review to look for the egoic energy in point number 5, and interestingly, the personal energy in point number 6. The personality is related to form and to the number 6. The soul, interestingly, or ego, is related to the number 5. It is found on the fifth systemic plane and on the higher aspect of that. Interestingly enough, we may be dealing here with the abstract mind, which is part of the spiritual triad. So that when we use the word ego, we have to be cautious, because as DK tells us, the true ego is actually the spiritual triad. All right, this allows us to go ahead, and it says this tabulation, by the way, is listed more than once, twice, and maybe later another time. We'll have to see. DK seems to add interpretation to it. The first time the tabulation is listed, the order is Great Bear, Pleiades, Sirius. The second time, it is Great Bear, Sirius, Pleiades. And perhaps he's trying to tell us that Sirius has not only the second ray, but the monastic quality, and the Pleiades have not only the quality of creative intelligence or active intelligence, but they have the Buddhic quality. Like any other being, it depends on what part of the being we're speaking of. Are we speaking of their personality or their form demonstration? Are we speaking of their soul nature or consciousness nature? Or are we speaking of the will and the closer to the spirit nature? A study of this tabulation will demonstrate that there will be found a structure therein of many triangles of force. Some of them are cosmic, and that's, let us say, the Great Bear, Sirius and the Pleiades. Some are zodiacal, Leo, Pisces, Capricorn. Others systemic, and those are the planetary triangle. We have there in order Saturn, Uranus, and Mercury. Sometimes the word systemic is differentiated by from the word planetary, and sometimes systemic refers to the solar logos of the system, and planetary to its own system of planets. Still others are planetary, at least planetary in terms of our planet, meaning our head center, Shambhala, on our planet, the heart center, which is hierarchy, and the throat center, from some perspective, which is humanity. And their reflections in the etheric body of the disciples of the world of all grades. So it's a very complete chart, as we can see. Through the great triangle of Shambhala, the hierarchy in humanity, cosmic, zodiacal, and systemic force is focused, and these three become in their turn a macrocosmic triangle of energies in relation to the individual human being upon our planet. When we use the word macrocosm, we mean a larger embracing whole, the structure of which is reflected in those lesser wholes that are included within it. Oftentimes, the macrocosm is considered to be our solar logos himself and his system. More often that than considering the planetary logos as the macrocosm. In this particular case, these factors that are part of our planetary system of centers are considered macrocosmic in relation to the individual human being, and I think that is a legitimate kind of consideration. You have, therefore, the following lines of force. And once again, you know, let's see if we can line them up a little better. There we go. Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity. That's the way this particular chart works. As I say, the earlier one seemed to list Shambhala, humanity, and then hierarchy in the farther end. Sirius was, and Pisces and Uranus and so forth, were considered in the far right column. The head center, the heart center, and the ajna center. Now, as I said, humanity is sometimes associated with the throat, maybe more in its higher brackets with the ajna center, because after all, in this particular chart, we are dealing more with disciples, not those who are the average human beings, but the upper rank of human beings, and therefore, it seems to me that the ajna center is used for that reason rather than the combination of throat center and sacral center. If we had been dealing strictly with humanity in whatever brackets we might consider, then perhaps the throat and sacral center would have been listed. But in this case, we're dealing with the higher end. All right. And then finally, base of the spine, solar plexus, and throat. These are all, sometimes when you think about the higher triangle representing the three aspects of divinity, the head, heart, and throat are mentioned. The Asthma Center can reflect the rays in an interesting manner. Given the triangle in the head, which is the crown, the ajna, and the alta major center, the ajna center oftentimes upholds a secondary function. There's another sense in which it relates to the personality and can relate to a third ray function. And sometimes for the integrated personality, it is a directing force center and has a first ray function. As a matter of fact, when you really study the ajna center, there's not a ray that does not have a close relationship to it and the possibility of expression. First ray, personality, direction. Second ray, the midway point in the upper triangle in the head, and a fusing point relating to the spiritual triad, which is the true ego. A third ray representing the personality. Fourth ray, when Mercury is the ruler of the ajna center, as Mercury distributes the fourth ray. And fifth ray, when Venus is the ruler of the ajna center. And then in the book, is it Esoteric Healing? Anyway, DK says there is a sixth ray function. We can imagine Neptune with its power of visualization at the ajna center and Esoteric Healing. The ajna center is ruled by the seventh ray. So it is, in a way, a very synthetic center. It's said to have 96 petals, and there is a two-leaved door as well. The two greater petals are the two-leaved door. And the base of the spine, yes, that's in the initiatic column, the solar plexus in the discipleship column, and the throat, with the awakening intelligence in the column that relates to the creative intelligence. Because we're using the word personal creativity, we rise above the normal sacrocenter meaning, which is personal pro-creativity. So we see that the column is useful for those who are on the path or approaching the path, but not necessarily useful for the average human being. The two centers of intelligence are the ajna center in the throat and creative activity. They both are involved. The manipulation of form, perhaps through the throat center, and the visualization of the form, which must be created in the ajna center, and in order to achieve which the throat center provides that manipulation. All right, one major center is here omitted. Aha, okay. Well, very good. Now we're going to find out why. I've been doing all this speculating about why the sacral center is omitted. And DK will explain this. One major center is here omitted because it is primarily related to the physical body and its perpetuation. And its expression of life perpetuation, pro-creativity. We were pretty well told that the science of triangles has to do with that which is subtle, which substands, which is etheric, which is more related to consciousness than to expression of a physical nature. So if the physical body is considered the most related to the sacral center, that's an interesting reason for the switch in the glands that represent the sacral and base of the spine. The base of the spine center, interestingly, is more connected with the etheric body, and the sacral center more with the physical body, even though the sacral center is positionally above the base of the spine center. Yes, so one major center is here omitted because it is primarily related to the physical body and its expression of life perpetuation. And we know the physical body is not a principle. So in a way, this center is rather the lowest in terms of the field of expression in which it works out. Although it also is the home of the mental elemental from another perspective, and so it has a higher function. That is the sacral center. Just as the physical body is regarded by true esotericists, I suppose not just spiritual aspirants, as not a principle, so the sacral center is regarded as a necessary evocation between that which is high and that which is low, and between that which is sounded forth from the center in the throat and that which replies to the deeply sounded note. Well, this seems to suggest the base of the spine center, possibly. Of course, in a certain way, the deeply sounded note, the reply to the deeply sounded note, might come from the sacral center. As those two centers, throat and sacral, are intimately related. But let us see. It could be the base of the spine center. Could be base of spine center. A necessary evocation. And probably, as I say, a temporary evocation. It has the same number of petals as the spleen, interestingly, a six. And the six is the number particularly of form, because we've seen in the 666 that it represents the triple form, and the beast of the 666 is Mars, in a way, Mars being the planet which distributes, first of all, the sixth ray. It's the planet of the aggressive lower nature, untempered by the love energy of the soul. So it's the 666 is the sign of selfishness, and the number of selfishness, and Mars is the planet of selfishness, and the it's also promoting the instinctual nature. And we have to see what will happen. It's kind of interesting that the number of petals in the sacral center is half that number that are found in the heart center. And the division of the sexes and procreation is meant to lead eventually to the overcoming of desire and the establishment of the energy of love. We will see whether that necessary evocation at some point disappears when the race has moved back to an advanced state of hermaphroditism, which is different from the earlier state in the pre-individualized root races. When the word deeply is used, it seems to suggest the base of the spine as the deepest center, the center which is most profoundly anchoring. A necessary evocation between that which is high and that which is low. The high and the low could be throat center, or it could be the throat center in one way, and the base of the spine in between, or it could be the highest centers and the lowest center, the base of the spine, and between that which is sounded forth from the center in the throat and that which replies to the deeply sounded note. And if it's between, the base of the spine center definitely has to be involved, because the solar plexus center is above the sacral center, and we cannot say then that the sacral center is between the solar plexus and the throat. It's only between the throat and the base of the spine, which anchors the etheric quality in dense physical matter, but still is etheric. We have... I think in Cosmic Fire around page 170, where certain triangles are discussed, the base of the spine center is considered related to the etheric body, the solar plexus center to the astral body, the throat center to the mental body, yes, the heart center to the buddhic vehicle or buddhic plane, and the crown center, the highest head center, to the atmic plane. It also has a monadic connection to, I think, via the 12-petal lotus within the head, because the greatest of the 12s is the monad itself. And the three whose number is a 12 respond to the greater 12. There is something about the monad with its rulership by the 12th sign Pisces. I leave the father's home, the monad does, and going forth I say, which connects the monad with the number 12, which is the number, in a way, of completion. Certainly it completes the zodiac. So the sacral center is missing for a good purpose, because we are dealing with really with the inner man and not with that congestion of energies from a previous solar system, which we call the dense physical vehicle. DK is at pains to explain that the science of triangles is not about outer manifestation, but about the conditioning of that which appears through the number four. The number four, of course, is the dense physical body from one perspective. The lower mental plane, the astral plane, the etheric body, and then the number four, which would be the dense physical body. So the triangle hovers above the four, and the four is the externalization of all that is subtly conditioning it. All right. In this connection, there is an interesting triangle of energy formed by the egoic lotus, the throat center, and the sacral center. Sometimes the egoic lotus has the number 16 associated with it. 16 can be associated with the egoic lotus as well as with the throat center, because there are 16 petals. The egoic lotus is a creative center. And so are the throat center and sacral center. They are both creative. So let's see how we can look at this, because it is because of the egoic lotus that man puts in an appearance as a personality in the lower worlds. And the sacral center produces that vehicle, which is sometimes listed as one of the periodical vehicles, namely the physical body itself, along with the egoic lotus, a higher periodical vehicle, and the monad and its vehicle, a still higher periodical vehicle. Let us see what DK says about it. This triangle, when functioning, produces a subsidiary triangle of force. All of this would be useful in the esoteric healing book. The throat center, the sacral center. Okay, so we have the egoic lotus, throat and sacral, and then throat, sacral, and a physical body symbolized here by the organs of reproduction, which are dual in their nature, and we have two types of physical bodies, male and female. So the organs of reproduction are dual. And we have two types of physical bodies, namely male and female. So interestingly, at the top of these four, we find the egoic lotus, at the bottom we find the physical body, both of them listed among the periodical vehicle. Sometimes the personality is considered to be a periodical vehicle, but oftentimes it is the physical body itself. So this is definitely a lower triangle having to do with the creation of that which is dense. There is much third ray in the throat center. There is as well in the sacral center. Its ray is sometimes considered to be the seventh, but since it is related to dense materiality, the number three is related to dense materiality, and the physical body also is related to the matter of the previous solar system in which the third ray was prominent. So there are some threes involved here in this lower triangle, and in the higher triangle, the egoic lotus also has the creative function as well as the function to contain or express a consciousness of the second aspect on the higher mental plane. So this is all about manifestation, and DK has been talking about this a group of related factors, a triangle with six, each point of which has five additional expressions, so there's six all told, and the 3 times 6 is the 18, and the 18 sums to the number 9, whose number is that of the third ray, and the 18 represents the 18 lower subplanes, which are, in a way, not principled from the point of view of the planetary logos. They are ruled in a way by the moon, which can be connected with the sacral center, the moon as the mother of the form. So we're talking about energies coming from very high sources and finally ending up in some sort of expression within the individual man. Okay. So the subsidiary triangle, throat, sacral, and physical body. Notice he does, he has included now the sacral center under discussion and has given us some triangles which involve the sacral center. And interestingly, the throat and sacral center are listed together just the way we might have expected them to be in the third column of intelligence and creativity emanating ultimately from the Pleiades. So he's giving us quite a physical extension, and he's showing us how if we involve the sacral center, we would definitely end with the production of the physical body. Without the egoic lotus, however, there would be no production of the physical body, so that type of creativity does begin on that level. All righty. Let me pause a moment here to point out that in this study of the triangles, it is not possible for us to do more than study certain of the major groups of triangles. We can understand because the intricacy would be overwhelming. And a few of the most important triangles where humanity itself is concerned. It looks like the entire vault of heaven is underlay by the triangles, and we would really have to study the entire extent of universal relations in order to study in any completeness the science of triangles. So Master DK is getting us started here, and he's giving us this start so we can begin to interpret things as originating within the three aspects of the triangles and manifesting as a fourth point, or manifesting in a sense as the square. It is of value for human beings to realize that there are other evolutions and other forms of logoic expression of equal importance to their own. We tend to get a little bit anthropocentric, man-centered. You know, geocentric, well, we're outgrowing that. Maybe we're also outgrowing heliocentrism. That took a while. There was a great Copernican revolution to get us out of geocentrism, and now our modern astronomy helps us rapidly disabuse ourselves of heliocentrism, and there will be further decentralizations along the way. So the other evolutions, he gives us a plural there, doesn't he? Not only the Deva evolution, there may be others as well. Man has to become decentralized by realizing that he is not the central factor of importance in the domain, earthly domain in which he seems to live. Or certain, I mean, you know, it's absurd, isn't it, that we somehow consider ourselves to be the only form of life in the universe, and everything else is dead matter. If you really think about it, you realize how absurd is that point of view and how much it is the product of our own limitations and taking our own limitations and that which they reveal as eternal truth, forever valid. Anyway, Master DK has told us about the lives on the different planets, and if there are lives on different planets, why not in relation to different stars? He's also talked to us about the great lives in certain stars, notably Sirius, three great orders of lives which are reflected in our system by the Blue Lodge, our system of masonry. There is, in truth, a veritable multiplicity of triangles. I think we're coming to that idea, and so we have to discover the ones that really we can do something about, the ones that count for us, the ones that we can understand, and the ones the understanding of which will improve the quality of our life. For the triangle is the basic geometric form of all manifestation. You see, manifestation, in a sense, is related to the third ray. And the triangle is that figure based upon the number three. So the basic geometric form of all manifestation, of course, in another way, the dense manifestation is related to the four, to the square. And if you look at the tetrahedron, you get a kind of combination of the three and four in a way, don't you? Because you have triangles on every side, and yet you have four faces to the tetrahedron. So in a way, it can be considered the symbol of the personality, with the upper point, including the three lower vehicles and the etheric and physical, would be included as one. We would simply call it the etheric physical body, astral body, and mental body, and the personality synthesis of the three would be represented by the higher point. And the pyramid, interestingly enough, then, would represent the soul, because the higher point in that case would be the ego, and the four factors of personality would be the square. In that case, we'd split the etheric body and the dense physical body. For the triangle is the basic geometric form of all manifestation, and it is to be seen by those who have eyes to see. Always that mystic statement, which implies, look, there's more to see and hear than you see and hear. And it is to be seen by those who have eyes to see, underlying the entire fabric of manifestation. So I suppose when we are privileged to see this passage of the energies, we will see the triangular relationships in this passage. Whether it is the manifestation of a solar system, the manifestation of a zodiacal round, and there is possibly a hint. A zodiacal round could be considered in one respect a Platonic year of some 25,000 Earth years. Or maybe there is some motion considering the zodiac of constellations as one entity, because every chakra is in a way an entity, and perhaps there is a movement through each of these constellations of the zodiac, quite independent of the way the gyration of the Earth's axis inclines Earth beings to experience a round of that zodiac. The word round is has multiple applications, and there may be more hidden in this term zodiacal round than we might expect. Okay, the manifestation of the zodiacal round, the cosmic triplicities or tiny reflection of this divine or the tiny reflection of this divine triple whole we call man. So man is reflecting the cosmic triplicities, and man is in a way whole because of the three periodic vehicles. Man is the threefold whole, represented by monad soul and personality, or monad soul and sometimes dense physical body as the synthesizing vehicle. when the human being is manifest, but is not yet truly manifested, then the triangles which symbolize this manifestation are the two eyes and the third eye. He is going to all levels of the triangles, isn't he? Right away, he's taking us all the way from cosmic to zodiacal to planetary, systemic to earth triangles to microcosmic human triangles, and then even to triangles within the microcosm man. When the human being is manifest, in other words, when it has emerged as a being that is part of its greater containing whole, but is not yet manifested completely, I suppose, the triangles which symbolize this manifestation are the two eyes and the third eye. The right eye is the eye of buddhi, of wisdom and of vision. And in a lower sense, perhaps we can consider it the eye of the astral body. The left eye is the eye of the mind, of the common sense and of sight. Now, from another point of view, this left eye may have to do with higher manas, just the way the right eye has to do with buddhi. We've skipped a level here in a sense. He doesn't tell us what level of mind we're talking about, does he? So the left eye can relate to the entire mental plane in a certain sense. And especially when comparing with buddhi, it can relate to the abstract mind. Two aspects of the spiritual triad. When we bring this down into the personality and try to find a symbolism for these eyes, we will find that the right eye will be the astral plane, perhaps, and the left eye the plane of lower mind. The eye of Shiva, the all-seeing eye, the eye which directs the will and purposes of deity. Now, it depends on how we're looking at this. We might see that the third eye even represents the monad, because the monad is the third eye, is as the third eye to the planetary logos, which is one of the points of revelation. So we would have the monad, buddhi, and the abstract mind. Now from another, and this would be a high triangle, a high symbolism for this triangle. The lower symbolism would be the third eye, the eye which looks out from between the two can be called the soul. The eye which looks out from between the two can be the soul. As DK explains in Rule 12, I think it is, for aspirants, let the disciple learn the use of the hand and service, let him seek the mark of the messenger in his feet, and let him learn to see with the eye which looks out from between the two, which is not just the third eye, but is considered to be the eye of the soul. And so we would then have, soul, astral body, and lower mind. Now, when dealing with strictly physical matters, we have the third eye and the right eye and, eye and the left eye. And these are physical and etheric in a sense, because the third eye is etheric in its nature, and in essence the right eye and the left eye are also etheric in their nature, with the eye itself, the right and left eye, being an externalization of an etheric center. So, in a way, we have two higher correspondences of the etheric third eye and the right and left eye, which are also essentially etheric in nature. And these correspondences are the soul, along with the mind and lower mind and astral body, and then the monad, along with buddhi and higher manas. So let's see. The three are in reality the eye of the Father, carrying the light of the Great Bear. This has to do with the first aspect, and is the synthesizing eye, and especially, I suppose, when it's the monad. The eye of the sun carrying the light from Sirius, and this correlates with the buddhi at this time, as the Christ is a Syrian initiate of a certain standing, and we're told that no matter where his spiritual adventure may take him, he will eventually go to that great star, to that system, Sirius. So this is the Buddhic correlation with the right eye, and then the eye of the mother carrying light from the Pleiades. Isn't it interesting? This correlates with manas, and even with higher manas, not just the concrete mind. So in a way, these three eyes, this triangle, has a correlation with the three great constellations. That's what DK is trying to tell us, that the greater triangles are really reflected in so many of the lesser triangles, including some quite concrete triangles. Well, it's hard to make the third eye concrete. I suppose its concretion is, in a way, the pineal gland, although that's also the concretion of the highest head center. The concretion of these lesser centers, I suppose, behind the two eyes are the two eyes themselves. So, essentially, Great Bear energy is carried through the central eye. Syrian energy through the right eye, and the eye of the mother, Pleiadian energy through the left eye. What a high source here is responsible for the functioning of these instruments that we use to such necessary effect in our energy system. Okay, so the three are in reality, etc., of these, and it is this latter light energy which is necessarily peculiarly active when the sign Taurus is dominant in any particular horoscope, this latter light energy. So Taurus, the mother of illumination, and as we understand, in order to see the Pleiades at this present time, we are viewing them as if they are in the constellation, the stars which comprise the constellation of Taurus. So Taurus is a sign intimately related to the Pleiades, just the way Capricorn is in this 18-fold tabulation that we have. Venus, the planet of light, is light and beauty together, is dominant in Taurus as the exoteric ruler, and in Capricorn as the hierarchical ruler. And I suppose Mercury, interestingly enough, as the conveyor of light, the transmitter of light from one source to another, traveling between the poles with speed and light, as it is said, is intimately connected with Taurus, as we've seen when we think about the Buddha nature. Interestingly, there must be some kind of triangle between Taurus, Earth, and Mercury. They are so much interconnected, almost as if Taurus would be a superior source, which could have an inferior triangle, which involved Earth, Mercury, and Venus, all of which are intimately connected to Taurus. Venus, we know, as the ruler, is intimately connected with Taurus, and because Venus is, and is the alter ego of the Earth, so the Earth is. And there is this Mercury Venus pair, which is involved, I think, in the Ajna Center and probably representing the two eyes to a certain extent. And this Mercury is a great planet of light and is shown to be connected with Taurus. So there's a kind of a triangle here that we might call Taurus, Mercury, and the Buddha. This is one of those triangles on different levels. We have horizontal triangles and vertical triangles. The horizontal triangles give us three factors which are on the same relative level of development, and the vertical triangle generally will give us three different levels of development, or possibly one higher level and two comparable levels, the isosceles triangle. That is also the possibility. So in a way, the equilateral triangle represents the horizontal development on its own level. The isosceles triangle will give us one superior level and two inferior, which are on the same level. And the, how should we call it, scalene triangle? The triangle with three, maybe the 3-4-5 triangle as a special case of that. But a triangle with three unequal sides, because isosceles has two equal and equilateral has three equal, but scalene, I think it is, has three different sides. And that represents the vertical with three different levels combined in the triangle. I guess we can't really have anything else than all equal, two equal, or none equal. And I think those represent at least the kinds of triangles I can think about at the moment. So the light energy is connected with Taurus, Pleiades, and Venus. There's a Venus connection with the Pleiades. We remember Pleiades, Cancer, Venus. Now we have Pleiades, Taurus, and probably Venus, or Pleiades, Taurus, and Mercury. So the Taurian incarnation is peculiarly related to the quest after light and the demonstration of the light. Taurian incarnation related to quest for the light or expression, demonstration of the light, such as was in a very spectacular case for human beings, the Buddha's incarnation. And many of those people, you know, who are on the second ray, Taurus is the second sign, they are connected with the light part of Taurus and with the greatest light, and they are considered to be light carriers, light bearers. Interesting that Taurus, the second sign, is said when representing an incarnation of a human being, or when a human being has that particular energy strong, it is not easy to express the second aspect in its love aspect. But it is easier, I suppose, to express it in its light and wisdom aspect. The Buddha is both the Lord of Light and the Lord of Wisdom. So Taurus, it's interesting then that the second aspect of divinity has these different parts to it. Actually, the second ray has three prominent parts to it, as we have discussed on Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 518. But the Taurus aspect is connected particularly with light and with wisdom, and not so much with the love aspect, interestingly enough, even though it is the second sign, and will have a resonance with the second ray. Okay, let's move on just a little bit here. In some unusual manner, at least unusual from the human angle, all the concerns the development of mankind has been down the ages expressed by him in terms of illumination and knowledge, in terms of sight and of the entrance of light. I suppose we're reflecting our planetary logos in that respect, because it is a light, a demonstration. which is important in the growth of the planetary logos. And humanity is to become a great station of light, and our planet a great lighted sphere. So all, in terms of human development, it's been expressed in terms of light. We are Manas, after all. We are the throat center, in a way, of our planetary logos. We are not the heart center yet. Hierarchy is the heart center, and so their development would be expressed in terms of love. Illumination and knowledge, both of which are closely correlated with Taurus, interestingly enough, in terms of sight, the eye, and of entrance of light, thus leading to revelation and incidentally to the true theme of astrological interpretation, which I suppose is to shed light upon the various types of beings under consideration. You know, that word, whoops, can't have that, disappearing. Consideration. And consideration, consulting the stars in order to well consider something. So repeating then, in an unusual manner, from the human angle, all that concerns the development of mankind has been, down the ages, expressed by him in terms of illumination and knowledge, in terms of sight and the entrance of light, thus leading to revelation and incidentally to the true theme of astrological interpretation, the release of light upon relationship. I'll call it that for the moment. The releasing of light, or let's say of the light of understanding upon relationship. From this peculiar angle, therefore, we can approach the great triangles with which we are today concerned and deal also with their significance in terms of light. Now, we do remember that in the Cancer chapter, we had the different forms of light. And Leo's the light of the soul, and Capricorn, I suppose, the light of initiation, and Pisces, the great and final light. I think I'd like to look at that one more time from esoteric astrology, and maybe it would be right around page, 338 perhaps. Well, getting there. Maybe a little bit earlier. No, a little later. No, a little earlier. The light which shines on Earth, there it is. So it's 3:30 is what it is. Okay, the light of the world. So we have in Leo, the light of the soul. That's one of the points in this triangle. Although in the triangle has a more shambolic type of meaning, a reflective point of light, logoic or divine, because light, logoic, or divine would be on the monadic level, the light diffused in Cancer focuses and reveals eventually a point. Well, this is the lower interpretation of Leo, perhaps, than in the triangle we are considering. Capricorn, the light of initiation, yes, and then in Pisces, the light of the world. The light of the world. This is the light revealing the light of life itself. And the light of life itself is concerned with Aries and also with Taurus. And we have to question whether the light of life itself is associated with Pisces or simply the revelation of the light of life itself. So the through the triangles, which in a way are related to Mercury, Mercury is that linking factor which links the three points, and it is a great planet of revealed light through relationship. Let's see, Mercury, revealing light through relationship. Mercury is essentially, I think, a third-ray planet, maybe with a fifth-ray submonad and a third-ray monad, but it's my impression of it. and Venus, the secondary monad. So the revelation of light through relationship is Mercurian, and that is the function of astrology, throwing light upon relationship. And astrology is, in a way, a very Mercurian type of activity. It's oftentimes considered Uranian, but Mercury is the lower octave of Uranus. This significance and approach can be summed up in the following stanza from the old commentary, which, if studied carefully, will throw much light upon the theme of this particular subject. Okay. This is a... This is something that has to be interpreted with care. So I think perhaps it will be time to end this particular... this particular program, and we'll end it with the great invocation. I think that would be the way to do it. And then we'll get into this more daunting interpretation concerning the three constellations as they are viewed in terms of the old commentary and the theme of light. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 115A, or would you see if it's just 115, and page 430. Looks like, yes, it's page 430. And, well, we can call it that we will begin Esoteric Astrology Adventure 115B, page 430. And we will close with the great invocation. Yes, let's do that. Okay, and this time I'll use the proper pitch. I have my pitch pipe handy. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. All right. Maybe what we'll do is we'll call this next one 116 and 116. No, we'll call it just 115 here instead of 115A, and we'll call this 116A. We'll begin. In that way, I think it will be a better choice of action. So, meanwhile, We are in this fascinating science of triangles, looking at triangles high and low and their interrelationship. We're looking at astrology and the great theme of the revelation of the light and the progress of man in terms of the revelation of the light. So we will go on when we can. Right now it seems to be in the middle of the night, if I look a little bit like that. And we'll see when the next one can begin. Okay. See you then. Bye-bye.